Do you think, do you ever think there's going to be another company to take over
100%.
It has to be, right?
Facebook, Instagram, all that shit's going down. Like,
no way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. I think they're too good at keeping up with the times. They always adjust.
What do you mean, bro? Look at the news. Like, they're always in the news in the wrong side of the view. So you look at, like, a company like me that's spending X amount in Facebook advertising. You know how many people are, like, starting to hit me up in the last 2 weeks? It's like, they're hearing all this shit in the news. Like, what's the next up-and-coming platform? Like, it's... It's. I don't think it's TikTok. That's a different space. That's a different thing.
It's a medium, yeah.
There's going to be an all-inclusive, and it's going to be way more, like, I guarantee we're going to have drones this big that we all get, like, we're going to buy for $1,500 in, like, 10 years, and we're going to just pop it up, and it's going to be, like, a POV shot of, like, our whole life. Oh, here's me going to Chipotle. Like, you're not even going to be able to hear it. You're not going to be able to see shit. Like, people are going to be documenting their lives like fucking crazy, bro. And then literally in like 20 years, I guarantee like babies are born and their whole life's documented.
I could see that.
And the best part is we are going to be able to go back to that and see where we were. And we're capturing content nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
So we get to see like our evolution of the content game because we're getting in it as grassroots.
Yeah. Your guys' schedule is like basically just documenting your timeline. So you guys can look back when you guys are 40 and fucking successful. You guys can look back and just being like, dude, those floral chairs, like they changed everything.
They changed everything.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, but it's just like that's even like something about my company that I love is because we're just documenting fucking everything. That's why we started a vlog. Like, is it going to bring in more money? Maybe. But like just like having that is like so sentimental. And like I look at Joe I've been working with for last, I think he's been with us for a year. I heard him and we had a man bun. He was still in college. He was just like a little kid. Now you look at him, like he just looks like a whole nother person. Like when we look at our shit, like we're probably going to look like little kids.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We talk like it too.
Yeah.
A year ago.
Let me show you this shit.
We didn't even hit puberty actually, yet.
Barely. We just grasped puberty.
I was like on my hard Gary V. Like I.
We all were.
Just like,
so
like,
many one lines.
Content.
Dude, we all were. It was so funny.
Yeah. The Gary V one-liners were off the chart. Dude. I mean, if someone had a dinger of how many times it hit, it was just going ding, ding, ding.
The Energizer butterfly.
Yeah.
Look at this shit, dude. And this, so, what's so funny about this episode, too, is we literally take... Look at this, dude.
Who is that guy?
Who is that guy, dude? Look at us. We're all sitting in that chair. With the round table. Had just met you for the first time.
Oh yeah, we just met. We talked like 10 minutes before and we just jumped on.
We just jumped on. It was insane. But yeah,
it was a rainy night, similar to what it is today.
This is crazy. Watch this.
Yeah, super excited.
Last question for you. What did you learn from the time that you
right here. We'll lead into it. Listen to my Gary V spiel right here.
Chipping away at it. And it's not nearly as stressful as I thought. I went to bed that night. And I was like, shit, did we get distracted by the shadow?
This is us talking about the podcast Halloween party.
A way bigger party than they're ready for at a house. Like,
our home. Are we getting distracted? Like,
yeah.
I don't think it's a bad idea at all, dude. Mm-hmm. I think it's the right move. It's another entry point. You know what I mean? Like, you can invite these people and be like, yeah, like, we're a podcast. They'd be like, what? You guys are throwing a party. You guys are a dope podcast. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the brand marketing that I have no idea of it. Just like, I want to get in front
there's
of
no way. There's no idea I know what that means.
When we're at like the bar and everyone's like having a good conversation, I'm like pitching the podcast to someone through conversation.
Yeah.
Always. There's never a time where I'm not talking about the podcast, which may be unhealthy in some instances, but
dude,
it's like, dude,
no, it's
you know
passion.
What?
It's passion.
I enjoy it.
And speaking on that, you guys need to come to the Link and Drink event. So.
Yeah, we're there.
So I'm starting a new wave marketing
or
a new wave networking event for just anyone who's out there hustling, trying to chase something. Maybe they don't know where to start or maybe they just want to go and meet other like-minded people. It's held at breweries every other month, discounted beer. I'm creating the Spotify playlist, and
it goes
it's going to be a good time to connect with other
people. Camera goes out for a while.
Audio, though. Let's go. I connect with so many people on social media, and I look up to so many people, and I know a lot of people are in my network trying to build different things, but there's never been a centralized place to go and link up with these people.
Mm-hmm. And the very first Link and Drink will be.
It's on November 6th, and it's from 6:30 to 8.
Hey, let's go. Brewery.
Free event, 100% free. I've got a bunch of local clothing brands that are giving out like free, like I'm talking like not just a t-shirt, like I'm talking like cut and sew rain jackets that are like all branded. They're super sick. We got some hoodies, we got some hats, just a lot of cool stuff, because I just want to provide a ton of value. I want to meet a lot of people, And I want to meet like-minded people.
Dude, hey, how awesome is
how
that?
How sick is that, dude?
That literally gave me goosebumps.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Full body goosebumps.
Isn't that awesome?
And that's like fucked up because like I really think Lincoln Drink's going to be bigger than Butterfly. Like nationally, I think it's going to grow and it like to be 100% obvious, and we can like jump into the podcast when we do this, but like, and I can explain it again. But
oh, we're already on, brother.
That's why I like you guys. It's the content kings. But that's what I like about Lincoln Drink is because it was more of just like, okay, we work in an agency. We want like an event or something that we can do for fun that kind of lets loose, but like we're still being very productive.
Yeah.
And now it's just turned into like a full blown company. And it's actually really, really cool to see that because I was the first one. I didn't know what I was doing. Still kind of don't. But like we didn't have any expectations. And now like you guys have been to multiple of them. It's like, shit, dude, I started another company. I didn't even mean to.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah.
But it's good because it all kind of fits, you know?
Oh, for sure. And that's one of the coolest aspects of you bringing everyone together. It works for you and it works for your brand. And you're also including all these other people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's growing yourself astronomically because you're the face of it. You and the people that you bring along and then everyone else that can be included and just grow from those people around it. I think that's the coolest aspect of it.
Yeah. It's really weird too, because everyone kind of already knows each other. But they're going to this event and buying tickets because they just know things go down at those events. I mean, look at the last one. Were you guys there at the last one?
Yes.
Yeah. The last one, we had like a cappella, like microphone singing and like a slow clap at a panel and networking event. Like yeah. You put those three things in like one equation, you're like, dude, those don't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I mean, we started it and we just like starting dope shit. Like that's just what we're all about.
Yeah.
You know,
I really like the panel format and that switch up you guys did because it was like people saw that value right away. Mm-hmm. Like not only are they showing up for a networking event where maybe they'll meet someone new or whatever. But the fact that they can go there regardless of not talking to anybody and see like Giselle, Gabby and Sarah just like throw hot takes out there. And it's in an industry that they actually care about too.
Right. And there's two parts to it. So one, from a business standpoint, we built a business model with influence already in play. So you think about it, most of these people have a network of their own that probably aren't going to Lincoln Drink, or maybe some of them are. So each time that these people share it, our audience is always growing. Then we can always change the topic to whether we want to go into sports or whether we want to go into the first one we did was like photo. We had the Vikings photographer. We had Fly Touch and
Oscar.
Soda Boy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And people like look up to those people on Instagram, like more than people actually realize. And so just to put them in the room and have them accessible, and from the influencer standpoint or the panelist standpoint, I'm providing a lot of value for them because I'm creating content. I'm showing what they do and I'm building their following. So it's just like, dude, it's just a weird thing that just kind of came about that I'm like really passionate about, but it just helps everyone essentially besides me. Like we started it to one, get more projects and just get more people like around Butterfly. But like, I'm just such a big brand play guy. Like I'm not an operational guy. I'm such a big brand play guy. So like, I was like, yo, let's start a networking event and just put all these people in the same room and just see what happens. Mm-hmm. And then we made that verbal commitment to run it every other month. Now we're definitely running into like growing pains and stuff like that, but it just provides so much value to everyone else that in the long run, yes, it benefits me, but in the short run, like I'm not making money off of it. I'm not necessarily, I don't have the time to network with people because I'm running the event.
Mm-hmm.
But from like a brand play and like a personal branding experience, like it's perfect.
Oh yeah. And I think the fact that it's like an experience too, you know, you can make all the content in the world and that'd be great, but it sucks to a standpoint for yourself where you're throwing these experiences, but you're not necessarily being able to be a part of it or wholeheartedly enjoy it.
Yeah.
Like everybody else does. But to the point where it's very cool to see all those people get together and just like kind of be themselves and grow from there. And now it's what you're doing is like putting names to faces and physical experiences behind Instagram handles.
Mm-hmm.
Like now,
so I guarantee so many people come up to you guys and you're like, oh, you guys are the back pocket guys.
Yeah, no.
You know what I mean?
Seriously,
it's crazy. It's our Mecca night every time.
Dude. But it's everyone's Mecca night, which is weird, bro, because we literally made, and this is obviously self-proclaimed, but we literally made paneling and networking cool.
Yeah.
If I would have went to you the other day and I was like, hey, I want to go to a panel and networking event, you'd be like, sure, but
yeah, I mean,
you sure you want to?
Yeah. Can we go grab beer somewhere else?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. But, you know, tying the two things, and it's not like people are just getting messed up and getting, like, wasted out there. It's like, no, you're having a couple beers, you're having a couple of drinks, you're learning some stuff, and you're making connections. Yeah. And the amount of, like, just positivity that I get sent back that night literally has me on a high for the next 3 months, bro. I swear to God.
Yeah.
Like, I've never been so motivated after one of those events. It's just, it's weird, dude. And it's, like, so unintentional. And, well, now it's intentional. But when we started, it was so just, like, let's just throw an event, dude.
Mm-hmm. You're like, I like drinking with my friends. Exactly. And I like networking.
But
so
I like
I'm
being productive. And I like talking about work. And I only like, exactly. like, my friends, I'm always talking about business. Whether it's your business, whether it's a brand that we both can, like, relate to, or stuff that I'm doing. Like, that's what I like talking about. And I don't have a ton of friends, so I'm just going to build a network of people who like talking about that. And those are my friends. So
exactly.
100%.
Like, create what you want.
We feel guilty sometimes talking about the podcast all the time because we love it and that's all we want to talk about, especially with our closest friends, because mm-hmm. they, I mean, they're like, they know
it. We get it, bro.
We get it, right? And when we get to go to Lincoln Drink, you already nailed it. People are asking what you do or they recognize us and we have just free realm just to talk about ourselves. And everyone wants to hear your story because everyone's interested in it. And it's just an awesome event. I applaud you for grinding it out from November 2018, and now you're coming up on 007. Will it be November again?
Yeah, it'll be November.
November.
We're looking at a couple other venues.
Okay.
We got some surprises in the works. Good. But, you know.
Yep.
We can't talk about it yet, dude.
No.
That's nuts. Yeah, I mean, it's been really fun. But in terms of, like, everything else that you're doing, how you balance in between, I mean, the last one at 006, it sounds like you went through a hellstorm,
bruh.
Just through booking this space alone.
Yeah, dude. I guess I'll say that event planning is a beast of its own.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
very sexy and attractive to, like, be the guy that runs the events and just, like, being a part of something where 150, 170, 100, 200 people are coming into a room.
Yeah.
But the small things that you don't realize are the stuff that, like, really sets you back. And so when, you know, when we were supposed to throw the event at the other venue, we get told, like, literally 7 days before, like, because we were going back and forth in negotiations, like, okay, what if we spin it off this way, or what if we do this, and blah, 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 like, what if we just send it to our newsletter between the city and the other venue, like, we were trying to negotiate for about a week, and then it just came, and the city just said, we're going to shut down all of brick and mortar if you guys try to throw this event. So then we're just like, okay, well, we just advertised, here's what this event is, we're doubling down, we got a rooftop, like, I just hyped that up because I was told we could.
Mm-hmm.
And then the backside of it just didn't work out with legality, and the city was sending notices and stuff. And so, I mean, I really truly believe that if it doesn't challenge you, it won't change you. And so it was good in retrospect, but that was one of the most stressful lives or weeks of my life. Like, I didn't even know what to do with my hands, bro. Like, I would literally stay there at night, and I'm just like, because you got to realize that, like, I love Lincoln Drink, but it's not my main business. It doesn't bring in the money. It's not like what I have people on salary for. And so when it has that much of an issue and it's such a big brand play and all these things are going down and I'm still trying to focus on Butterfly and, like, we had Labor Day sale and all these things that are going down and just last minute, no venue, no free drinks that we just advertised. Now I got to find something with a rooftop because I just said that. And I hold so much integrity to what I say to my audiences because I don't want to be that guy that says something and then just falls through. So, like, bro, you know how hard I worked to get that 7 rooftop, the venue. I still got the free drinks. It wasn't free drinks all night long, but, like, I got a $900 bar tab. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And I'm not making money on the event. So it's like, again, I'm just all about brand play because in the end, brand really matters more than anything. And you see all these businesses popping up, and it's not easy to sustain a business, but it's very easy to start a business. And so I think brand is just going to separate it. So, yeah, I'll eat costs and I'll eat my stress and all these things early on because I know it's going to be longevity on the back end.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're sitting there and you hear that brick and mortar's a no play. It's gone.
Yeah.
What's that next thought process going? I mean, you're still thinking I need to follow through with the expectations, mm-hmm. rooftop, being in the Twin Cities.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, ideas are probably rolling a little bit, but how are you able to put things together?
So we all know the movie Wolf of Wall Street, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pick up the phones and start dialing. That was my thing, bro. So we held a meeting with my leadership team at the Butterfly where it's like, all right, here's the situation. Like, do we get rid of free drinks and just secure a sweet venue? Is drinks very big part of, like, why people are purchasing? And we concluded, yes, that was probably a big reason. I mean, you can go to a concert for $25. Like, what's going to make you go to a networking event with a panel for $25? Yeah. And so we decided to cut the prices to $10, partial refunds to everyone, so we won't get eaten costs on the Eventbrite costs, on the fees and transaction fees. And we just decided, yes, drinks was a thing, and we just started calling people. Nick had a connection to Yum at 7, and I called him, and then I got another referral from someone else at 7. Like, it's kind of weird, dude. Like, people are just, like, sending me DMs, like, hey, man, like, really like what you're doing with Link and Drink. If you ever need help with a venue, let me know. So I hit up all of those people, and actually one guy that went to Link and Drink, like, 2 or 3, he met me. I think he was on your guys' podcast. He did, like the drug abuse business or something, or he was like helping people.
Jay Larikas.
Jay. Yeah. I don't remember how to say his last name.
He's in real estate, right?
He's in real estate. He's in a couple other things.
He's got event spaces.
Yeah.
Too.
So he's hit me up multiple times, and I met him at Lincoln Drink. So we had our Q3 focus day at one of his properties. And he said, hey, if you're ever looking for another, it was actually right after the brick and mortar announcement video. He's like, hey, looks like a really cool venue. If you guys ever need some like real estate over at 7, like I got a guy. So I hit him up, and then Nick had another connection, was at 7. So I was like, all right, 7, let's sit down. I've got multiple people telling me to work here. Here's the situation. Here's what we're dealing with. We got to do this in 7 days, and it's going to help you because of this, and it's going to help me because of this, and we can talk about longevity behind it. And so they worked out a sweet deal for us. Like, they hooked it up, and the day that I went there to go negotiate, I pulled up at 3, didn't leave till 8. Wow. Like, I mean, there was tequila shots taken and stuff when we solidified the deal, but like it was back and forth negotiations on like, they didn't believe that I was going to be able to bring 175 people in there. They just didn't, because in the event space, it's like, oh yeah, you got 300 downloaded tickets. Like probably 75 are showing up. It's like, no, I guarantee you more than 150 are showing up. And then we brought in 177, I think it was, with literally all of our marketing for every Link and Drink that we usually have happen is we throw an X amount for a month and a half. We couldn't run advertising because we were in negotiations with the other venue. So we ran all of our marketing dollars in 7 days. So when you talk about retargeting and you talk about a funnel, like you can only do so much in 7 days. So I was just so scared and so just like, did I just go down the wrong direction? Like, should I just like skip the month and like just like tell people to chill out? But I just don't play that game, bro.
Yeah.
I'm about my word and I'm about my commitment. Like, I'm a human. I make mistakes and there's things that I just can't control. But like, if I have any inch to control it, I'm there, bro. I'm making it happen.
Dude, you're a warrior.
I'm trying to be,
hell
bro.
Yeah.
I love it because, you know, I relate to that so much on so many different levels. Like the whole drink thing. I remember being on a call with you when we're a month out from Coachella. And we're trying to figure out like why drink deals are like so important and like the whole play there. And you were telling me from the beginning, like, you have to do it this way. Like, trust me, like, give them some sort of incentive with a drink and they'll come. And
right.
So you're right on that. I mean, what's crazy about that whole thing is like closing down and change. Like, how did your marketing, strategy?
Shift. Yeah.
How did you strategize in that 7 days?
There was no strategy. It was just tell the truth.
Yeah.
It was just tell the truth. We didn't want to be like, oh, you know, screw brick and mortar. Like, I have a great relationship with them and I think their event space is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It just, there was miscommunication very early on where it couldn't legally happen at that space.
Yeah.
So it was kind of misled there. We figured it out. We're good now. I was just there today.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as marketing strategy goes, I just wanted to tell people like, hey guys, like there's unreleased videos actually, because when we were in those negotiations, I was like, all right guys, it's not free drinks, but it's this, this, and this. And I had this whole video and I sent it to him and he's like, yeah, I just got word back from the city. Like, it's an absolute no-go. So we scratched that video. I spent 2 hours by myself, like stacked 3 pillows on the couch, set my camera there. And if you know me about like my marketing takes, like bro, I take like 50, like I need to be like dialed in and they're not amazing. But so I spent all that time doing that. But like our marketing strategy behind everything else is just tell the truth, tell the truth, tell the truth, be transparent. And I kept saying to my team, I was like, hey, this is the most stressful week, most stressful month. We've had a lot go down, but at least we have a starting talking point when people pull up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, even if it's only 30 people, like, at least we can just tell the story and, like, really connect to people and just, like, let people know, like, no, we're not making a ton of money. It's literally to connect people because we understand that in the long play, that's what matters. No one's going to be like, dude, that dude made so much money off of Link Drink. He's going to be like, dude, they threw dope events. Like, they provided a ton of value. And all these panelists that we've had on, like, they pull up every single time because they just know it's like, it's fun, dude. Like, you walk in there and you can feel the energy. It does not feel like a networking event. It literally feels like a professional party.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's what you're throwing now is our professional parties for everybody.
I don't know if I want to use that. I don't know if I want to say professional party. I want to say the networking event for people who get it. Because that industry has changed. Like, have you guys been to a networking event?
Oh, yeah. We went to a LinkedIn local event. Probably around this time last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably November or so. Oh, dude, it's literally stuffy. The same. It's stuffy. It's the same exact model. Like, they rent out a space, they have a panel, and then everybody talks and it's just super awkward for the whole time. And it's the same model of getting people in a room to start collaborating, it's just putting our twist on it. Our Gen Z millennial hustler mindset, and it's genius. It makes sense and it works.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what I was trying to, or what I want to tap into a little bit is the experience aspect now is so big. We threw Bochella at the end of June, and to this day everybody that we talk to that is loosely connected in our network is when's the next Bochella?
Yep.
You're the same way. When's the next Bochella? And it just shows the power of event throwing. As stressful and as shitty as it is when you're in the heat of the battle trying to get people to buy tickets and stuff, it sucks. That's why we only do it maybe twice a year. But ultimately, I just have so much respect for you for at every other month being consistent, throwing these events, booking the panelists, soaking the costs, just buying in every single time, all in the same in the same stint. You're running your own fucking company.
Yeah, an agency, which is the most output per person ever in any industry.
Oh yeah, a lot of manpower.
Dude, the hustle's insane. Yeah.
But I do have a big team. I have a big team, and my team gets it, and we're all equally invested in we just could we be better? Yeah, 100%. But when you build a team, dude, it's if we just invest into the vision, it's just filling in the blanks from there. But if you don't have any kind of roadmap or any kind of inspiration, it's hard to just come in and do the same things every single day.
Yeah.
And it's hard to motivate a team. But when you go and talk about experiences, your experience at the LinkedIn local, stuffy, kind of weird, you walk away not as excited. How hyped do you guys walk away from Lincoln Drink? We're messing people's Wednesdays up, seriously, because they happen on a Tuesday more times than not. And we're messing people's Wednesdays up because they just want to stay out all night on a Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? We've had that one night. We had that one night.
Couple.
But when you talk about experience, I want people to walk in and be in how the hell did they do this? Bro, we pulled a 60-foot red carpet on the side of 7 downtown Minneapolis, and we just started less than a year ago. Dude, that's an experience of its own. So when it's not dressed up super professional and business professional, and we have people in snapbacks, we have people tatted up, we have people with the Balenciaga Crocs, and they're walking on a red carpet, every single person feels important. And that's what matters in marketing. The reason why social media was so big and boomed so big when people caught on is because I can talk to you personally, whether it's through an ad or direct messaging or just a tweet, I can change my tone and my direction on my marketing. And so when you translate that to experience, I made everyone feel personal, but they weren't dressed up, but I made them feel like a celebrity. And then they got to meet other people. So when you guys walk in, you guys feel a little bit like a celebrity because everyone's oh, it's the back pocket guys, blah, blah, blah. Oh, it's social butterfly. Oh, it's stationary astronaut. It's all these things, but everyone's a hustler. So we appreciate each other that much more. Yeah. And yeah, you have your stragglers that maybe they're looking to get started or they haven't started or found that passion yet, that there's still room for that 100%. But it's the people that actually know what they want and where they're going. When they pull up to this event, you get 10x value.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I love it, man. That's crazy. Lincoln Drink, just 1 year celebration is really what this is, man. This is freaking awesome.
Yeah. 007 is going to be crazy.
Yeah. I'm excited for it.
It's going to be different.
So,
is there, and you don't need to release it, you could say, allegedly at this point, but is there going to be a James Bond theme?
Because I'm confirming yes. It's happening. It's happening. It's on content now. It's happening. Perfect. Whether or not my team decided on that, it's happening.
Beautiful.
Yeah. No, I think it'll be a cool way to spice things up. And we've got a couple of surprises in the works, and there's a lot more hurdles to be jumped, but I think it's going to be James Bond themed. I want black tie, classy, because think about it. We've been doing this for last year, and a lot of the same people come to these, but there's new people each time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now you almost want to see what all these other people look like dressed up.
Yes.
So now it's another reason to come to this next one. And we might have champagne toast. We might have a little bit of surprise.
A little posh, dude. It's just,
I don't know. I'm grabbing a top hat.
Ooh. Yo, we need a top hat. Yeah. I would have to go and like and buy a suit and shit.
It's going
to
be November, so you know we're coming in there with handlebars.
Yeah.
Yo, I'm already growing my stash right
Dude,
now.
Dude, I was trying to shave the stash, but I didn't have time today.
You look great, man.
Do you grow your stash out? Like,
have you seen my brother? Do you have a twin brother? Yeah, we talked about
this last time, and I've never.
I forgot about it, to be honest.
Has he been at the Lincoln Drinks?
No, he's like, he's super smart, total opposite.
Yeah.
Doesn't like talking to a bunch of people. Like, he's more on like the back end, like genius smart type stuff.
Okay. Yeah.
But I'll show you a picture of, dude, filthy mustache. The nice thing about it is I know what I would look like with a mustache this thick because he looks like me.
Yeah.
But let me show you this really quick. We were at a wedding.
Are you going to grow it out though?
Dude, probably not.
What? Come on.
I don't know if I'm going to close deals with this thing. From
But if you can, that's the whole thing.
Exactly. If you can, you can close anything.
Can we get like the zoom up on like
yes,
the...
Yes,
you
can.
Yo.
It's not a caterpillar. Like, there's no synergy between the caterpillar mustache and the butterfly, but yeah.
That's amazing.
That's thick.
I mean, like, yeah, it's just, he was always like the goon in hockey too, like throwing the shoulders in the corner. So like, it just made sense for him to have the mustache.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But
oh yeah.
Yeah.
I love that, man. So, you know, going from Lincoln Drink, I guess now into how, like Andrew and I are kind of doing now with this back end show is like, we want to use this time and this show to kind of step back and like bring people back on the show that are our friends. Like I would love to have beers with you more often, but it's like, dude, we're all doing just crazy amounts of different stuff. If we get one opportunity, let's record a podcast and drink some beers, right?
I'm all about that.
Right. So like,
but we're drinking seltzers.
But we're drinking Bolos and that.
Bolos. Did they just release this? Is this unreleased?
No,
this
these is released are, first week. A week and a half.
Yeah.
Oh, see, you guys got to get them to send you the unreleased. Build up all the hype.
We did that already. That was last week.
Shit.
Yeah.
My guys.
Well, 2 weeks ago, I guess. Yeah. When your episode comes out.
It'll be two weeks ago.
Yeah.
Time is subjective with us.
Yeah, very subjective. But the idea is let's just have beers and talk and catch up. So yeah. I really want to know, you know, in the last year, I know we just watched and I listened to your entire podcast from last year and we were just a bunch of little Gary V boys. Not that we aren't anymore, but I just give a shit less, I guess, is really what it is.
Yeah. Which is more Gary V than you think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Truth.
So true.
Truth.
But like, what is like the one thing that you can point out in the last year where you're like, holy shit, I just grew a ton from that? Or maybe just an experience, something that you want to talk about, get off your chest, inform us of, I don't know.
So I would say a couple of things. When we talked last year, I think I had roughly 3 or 4 employees. And so yep. I was very confident. We were growing really quickly. Like projects were, we were like on the come up.
Yeah.
And
you actually said you were growing too fast.
Yeah. No, like we did, dude. Like, because that's what I hate about college, dude. They don't teach you about like handling people and they don't teach you how to like scale a business. They teach you words. And it's like in 2019 and onward, I can find a word before they even had time to think about how to teach it to me.
What do you mean by just words?
Product placement. Yeah, I mean like product pricing, marketing strategy.
And all of the details that follow that.
Yeah,
you can find that
with
snap your fingers.
Like a business, yeah. I mean, a business plan is like essential to like a college degree, but all these things that they just don't teach you on like how to actually run the business, like quarterly filings and payroll and like what does your cost look like when you bring 8 people? Like I have 8 people now. And so we grew more than double. And I would say in the last year, one of the biggest things that I need to dial in is like one, humility. When you run a company, especially like Lincoln Drink, like when there's a lot of people there, and then Butterfly, where you're dealing with so many things at so many different times, like I'll be the first to admit, maybe not to my team, but like to myself, is it's hard to not get caught up when you're meeting Gary V and you're working with him multiple times and you're meeting with like Iconic and they're, you know, like really hitting you up like your boys. And that, like, that just gets to you. Like, you get so much confidence. Like, no, I know how to run this. I know how to run this. Where it's like, when you build a team, you can't have that. And that's what I'm learning firsthand. And it's something that I need to work on, that you need to rely on more people on what they're good at versus what you think you're good at. Because, dude, I'm an agency. I'm a people-driven business. And I think I said that in last year's. But I'm only going to grow by the amount of people. So if I think I know everything, bro, I'm capped. I'm 100% capped. But, and it's hard, dude. Like, I'm not good at this yet. I'm really, like, really, really trying to work on this. Like, listening to podcasts, reading books, and all these things to try to get better at it. But I'm trying to empower more of my team and create more responsibilities and responsibilities and just, like, delegation where they're running account management. I get filled in on what they're running versus do this this way. Now, are there times where we make mistakes and I'm saying, here's how I would have done it, and I'm like trying to explain my reasoning behind it? 100%. But when you're actually scaling a company, I have no clue what I'm doing. Oh, yeah. I have no clue what I'm doing, bro.
Right there with you.
100%. Like, I have no idea what I'm doing. And so, like, we're hiring people and I'm like creating job descriptions and stuff. And granted, I learn a lot from my clients because they're usually further in than I am. But yeah, that's just like the one thing that I go to bed sleeping about and thinking about every single night is like, how do you become a better leader? And it's hard too, because in an agency, everything's due tomorrow. Yeah. Everything's due tomorrow. Everything's on a short deadline. And so it's really hard when I'm such a tenacious and like very like all like aggressive and like just jumping on things. It's very hard to not get frustrated when things aren't moving. And so just learning patience and hearing that from other people. Like, I hired someone, he called me out. He's just like, dude, like, there's no way that this person's going to have the responsibility and have the confidence to do so if you keep telling them every single step. Just give them the responsibility and let them go and then reevaluate. And so those are just like small things, dude. And it sounds like so much in the weeds and like so deep. And it's like, I have no idea what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I'm trying to be more of my messaging about and saying, like, I'm confident. I'm 100% confident, but I have no idea what I'm doing. But when I figure out what I'm doing, watch out. Like, I'm tripling down. And that's exactly what we did with Lincoln Drink. Like, we didn't know what we were doing the first couple events. I think the third one was like our least amount of people. We had like 50 people. And we figured out what exactly went wrong. And we tripled down on what went right. And now we're sitting at like, on average, 170 people at a networking event. Like, those are actually good numbers for a networking event. That's nationally.
Those are great numbers.
Yeah.
And I like to flip the switch a little bit and just let you know that you kind of do know what you're doing to an extent. You might not know what you're doing 3 months from now, in retrospect to what you want to accomplish that very minute. But like, so for example, Lincoln Drink, in that very first one, all you want to do is bring people together. That's what you knew you wanted to do. And you did that. And then you kept on working through that to optimize and make it as personalized and as beautiful as a product as Brandon Polizou can and the people around him can.
Shout out for pronouncing my last name right. That's like two people in my life that like actually nailed it, bro.
Hell yeah.
Okay, carry on.
I butcher everyone's last name. So for me to actually hit it is huge.
Yeah, that's big. Huge. Jimmy Farrow and I, or we were talking on about you like right at the beginning of the Jimmy Farrow podcast.
Or James Farrow.
James Farrow. James, Jimmy. He calls himself Jimmy. So I've been what? Going. Oh, yeah.
That's the first I've heard, and he's my boy.
I know. He said.
I'm going to hit him with the Jimmy text.
No, hit him with the Jimmy text because he was we were just talking about, he's like, what's his last name? Like, Polisuk? And we're like,
dude, that's actually how I got pronounced at a hockey tournament. It's like, damn. And me and my brother are the same team, so they got it twice, bro. My parents just left. They just hit the bar. Yeah. They're just like, not dealing with the repercussions.
That's awesome. Man. But yeah, like I was saying, like, you have an ability to, you may not know exactly what you want to do, but you have the confidence and you have the wherewithal to have an observation of like, I need to include these people, I need to include myself, and I need to gather around these common themes and move towards that. We might not have the specific blueprint of A, B, C, D, all the way to Z. You'll veer off to A1, A2, and then continue to move through it. And that's what I mean. I am very impressed all the time when I'm around you is your ability to adapt like that. But you need to give yourself more credit when you say you don't know what you're doing. I believe sitting from a bystander and watching you grow, it's pretty awesome. And I love being a part. Whenever I have a chance to be a part of the Social Butterfly, the Lincoln Drink movements, I want to do everything for you. That's why when Nick texted me, can you do audio? I barely can do audio for
us. Talk about not knowing what you're doing.
And you have speakers that are picking up sounds from the microphone, and I'm sitting there like YouTubing everything I can just because I want to.
Damn, you look like you knew what you were doing.
I tried. Yeah. And I was just sitting there, and I was like, I need to show these guys that I care. And I was like, everyone was like socializing and everything. I'm sitting there on my phone, like looking at YouTube videos, trying to figure out how to work the gain and everything. I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing.
And I appreciate that.
Yeah.
But dude, that's what I love about Lincoln Drink is because like we're able to like tie in all of Minneapolis where it's like sound and stationary astronaut back pocket. Like all these things that I mean, you guys had half of the people that have ever been to Link and Drink on the podcast. So there's already a formality where it's like, you guys are doing your daily business and building up your brand. I'm doing my daily business with Butterfly and building up my brand. Link and Drink's just like a platform. You know what I mean? Collaboration. See, that's what's weird about me. I like building platforms. Like, you think about Butterfly, it's a platform. Like, what do you want to do in life? An agency can build a roadmap to get you to that point in life. It's the only company that can directly go so versatile. You want to be a painting artist? Great. I can actually do that in probably 5 years. You want to be a sports agent? 100%. Let's make it happen. You want to be a project manager? I need you right now. Shout out. If anyone's looking for a project management position, let me know. I had to put that in there.
Love that. You're building a platform that's a launch pad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's my plan. Like, I just like being a part of things. It's not necessarily like, I mean, I definitely like money and like monetary things and material things. Like, I'm self-aware about that. I really do enjoy those things, but they don't mean everything to me. What means everything to me is like, what's my longevity? What's my legacy? Like, what do people remember me for? And there's things that I don't want people to remember me for. And there's things that I want people to remember me for. So just like really honing in, and like, I look at things at quarters now just because I run a business. And so like, I'm focusing quarter four onto
Q4,
like,
baby. Dude, put those fours up.
You gotta get the four up.
Mm-hmm. Q4 with a product company is like one of your biggest clients. Like, it's your mad mouse. But
yeah.
Quarter one, like, I've already got goals. Like, we've got some things in place where it's like right after quarter four hits, like, number one, January 1, we're moving into an office in St. Paul. So we're going to have two offices operating, which is a big play for us.
Now you'll finally be up here hanging out with us a little bit more.
Dude, I'm in St. Paul. I live in St. Paul now.
Oh, you live in St. Paul?
I'm only in Mankato. I'm only in Mankato one day a week. Okay. And we've got an office down there, and we utilize like the college students, and it's really good for us because we're giving college students real experience with spending real money and seeing real results, because the College of Business and all these colleges, technology and social media and content itself is moving way too fast for them to create a curriculum around it. So we're trying to create like a university-wide partnership where we hire students, give them the real experience, and then like Microsoft, Target, all these places,
it's like a
are
co-op,
like,
essentially.
Yeah. So that they hire them and they're just like, wow, these guys are great. I don't have to spend the first 3 months of hiring them like I do with every other school because of Social Butterfly.
Yeah.
So that's the big play. But again, dude, it could change tomorrow. Like, yeah. I'm a visionary. I'm going to say it. I'm a visionary. I'm all over the place. I get very excited about big ideas. I'm a lean into the operational, but I just hired like an integrator. Like, he's doing all my details. He's building out, like, he built out a company directory for Social Butterfly. Like, sick. I never thought that would happen, but like, it sounds so stupid, but it's like, you see that in the Google Drive, you're like, I'm seeing something here.
Yeah.
I'm seeing something big. You know what I mean? But it's like, I need those people around me because I'm an idea guy. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a big brand, like, idea guy. So
it's tough. And what's cool too is like, I mean, to Andrew's point is like, you've built all of this off of like just doing it, man. Just running straight at the objective and the idea that you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And like, there's all kinds of repercussions and things that come along with this. But what I would suggest to you, because you were talking about struggling with like letting go of of certain things. Delegate to elevate. Imagine you've hired someone that is a mini Brandon for his specific task, and you're allowing him to be you in that lane, and just letting him go and do that is only going to help the big brand, the big idea, the vision.
100%.
Just like have a little bit more empathy, right? That's the right word, where you're putting yourself in someone else's shoes.
Yep.
So like, have empathy when you are delegating.
I
agree. Know that Joe is going to freaking crush it when he's taking over social media. Mm-hmm. Know that Ad Dad is going to run the ads.
Shout out Ad Dad.
Exactly.
Dude, we created an icon. Like, one point we have to release like a little figurine, like a little like toy that's just like replicating Ad Dad, like holding Sparty, little dog.
He's got a little bit of stress on his face.
Little bit. Yeah. Just like the little bit of like the gray, like, like, he's going to be a silver fox.
It's a Mona Lisa type thing.
He's
going to
be chilling too.
Yeah. You guys need to start doing memes with Ad Dad and just be like,
hey, I heard you guys are the meme lords. So.
We love memes.
We're working on memes. We're realizing it's a cultural thing. We're getting behind it.
Yeah.
It's not about Instagram. It's about
that's who you need to get
Instagram.
On here. I know you guys are already going to ask me, who do we need to get on next? Like,
yeah, who do we need?
We need Ad Dad.
Need Ad Dad?
Yeah. Okay. I think we just need like a different perspective. Like, he kind of be like more like a Caleb, like more relaxed, a little bit more like
thorough.
He'll slow down a little bit because all three of us talk fast.
I know, dude.
So when we get together, it's fun.
I know. I know.
Yeah, this is like a high energy podcast. Oh, yeah. We're just talking a lot.
We also got the bolos. Yeah. There's the ding. Second shout out. Yeah, ding, that, ding. We get a little counter. It's like
By the way, brand endorsements. How does the dragon fruit taste? Pretty good.
It's good. It's a little bit more sweet. Mm-hmm. It's got a little bit more tang, but I'm a big fan of the cherry.
Nice. Really? All right. Sweet.
And I'm not like a huge White Claw guy. I'll drink them. Mm-hmm. I'll drink them.
You're going to go there on this podcast and in front of all these people? You're not a White Claw guy? All right.
I'm not a White Claw guy. Yeah. Just give him a look. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I'll drink what I drink. Mm-hmm. I'm more of a cocktail guy.
Me too.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Or IPA.
Oh, wow.
Andy Heartburn can't handle that.
No,
I get heartburn.
That's why I struggled at Finnegan's all the time when we went there, dude. It was just like Andy couldn't find a drink to drink. It's tough, dude.
Shout out to the fact we went to 7 and opened it up.
Yes, yeah. You did. Thank God, I had gin and tonics the whole night.
Absolutely.
You said earlier what you wanted your legacy to be, and like you wanted to make a difference. What is that legacy? Thought I'd ask.
Yeah, no, it's a good question. I mean, I got it tattooed behind my ear. I got longevity tattooed behind my ear.
Longevity.
I got a neck tattoo. My mom was not happy.
You just talked about, on the last episode, you got a tattoo of the social butterfly.
The day you started it right here.
Yeah. That was my second tattoo.
That was your second one. Yeah.
So they knew about that. But
was your mom cutting your hair again when
she saw the second one? No, so she saw this one, which is my cousin, which is on my side for the first time when she cut my hair.
Yep.
She knew about the neck tat because I texted her because I was going to a wedding and I didn't want her to freak out in front of everyone. So I was like, hey, just so you know, kind of got a neck tat. Wasn't most happy, but it says longevity. Like, how mad can you be that like I care that much about longevity and like what my legacy is? Like, to your question, what do I want my legacy to be? Again, kind of what you were building off of, like, I'm sitting here and saying, like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm very confident. And I just like, I look at like things, it's weird, dude, because I look at things like literally an hour in advance. Like, okay, we have to make a decision. Let's just run it and just finish out the repercussions on the back end. And sometimes I look at things, it's like Linga Drinks. Like, so I'm not making money on that. Like, it's funded through Butterfly and it's going to be a 20-year-long play because eventually we're going to open up branches in Chicago, New York, LA. Because I've already got people in those networks. I seem to find the right person to start running it. We'll open up one at a time. But like, bro, that's a national company. Yeah. Like if I had 15 Lincoln Drinks going on in the same month, that's some cash coming in. But that's a long play. What my legacy, what I want to be is if you look up to someone, figure out why do you look up to someone. So a lot of people look up to Gary Vee. Why? Is it because he's successful? For me, it's more of like how much emotional intelligence he has. That's why I look up to Gary Vee. He's not looking at things on a paper as black and white. I will never do that. I'm just not that type of person. There's those types of people that kill it. I mean, Warren Buffett probably doesn't have a ton of emotional intelligence. He's probably more of like a black and white type of guy. I don't know, Warren. Sorry, Warren, if that's not the case, but
it's a fair assumption.
You know what I'm saying? It's very analytical, and there's people like that, and there's nothing wrong with that, but you just have to know who you are. And so what I want my legacy is to like really find out who you are. And I'm still figuring that out. I'm just finding out a lot faster because I'm starting all these companies. And if I fall on my face, am I going to be known as the dude that fell on his face at 26 and then like went and did something great? Or am I going to be known as someone who just like literally chased whatever he thought about?
Dude, that's it, right? Chasing whatever you think about, chasing your ideas. I mean, you can do the whole chasing your dreams, whatever. Yeah. But like that mindset is so important.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can only truly understand the precautions you can only truly evaluate your ideas if you do them.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that.
You don't know until you know.
You don't know until you know. And like your legacy and everything that comes from that and all the mistakes and all the success that you have is all rooted in physically doing. And it's so crazy to like, just think about how, your brain and where your mind is at is rarely rooted in the present.
I feel you.
Because I'm on the same page as you with ideas and where I want back pocket to go. Like,
but that's what's weird about me, bro, is because like when he pulls up to Lincoln Drink and he's doing all the sound and like testing and stuff, like, bro, I'm another human right before that thing starts. Like,
yeah.
I'm doing this, I'm doing that. I'm like, I'm so in the present. And then afterwards, I'm already scheming on the next 10 things that we're trying to
do.
You know what I mean? But like, it's a healthy balance. It's like, if you're only living in the present, you're missing out on your planning. If you're only planning, you're missing out on your present. So it's like,
there is a balance for sure.
There is a huge balance on that. But like I said, dude, like I'm not perfect. Like I'm still trying to figure that out. And I think a little bit of what I came off in the last podcast is like, I kind of sounded like I knew everything. I kind of sounded like I had everything figured out and like, we're growing too fast and like, we're doing these things. We're starting to link and drink. And like, there's just so many things that you have to be able to identify and learn very quickly. And sometimes you can't identify that yourself. It's surrounding yourself around people who are real enough that are going to call you out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, for sure. It's just what it is. And
that's
so,
why
like,
I need this guy.
Yeah. So that's why I need you guys. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But like, I just want to surround myself around people who are doing things because we get each other. You know, we've met like a handful of times and like, I consider you like my homies, but at the same time, like realistically, if you're talking about like time spent together, maybe like 3 hours, like collectively.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, Bocella, maybe 6 hours. There was 3 hours on Bocella. But,
yeah. But at the time, I mean, you're mingling with other people
and you guys are running the event. Yeah. And it's like,
and then when we see you, you're running the event.
Exactly.
I get my 10 minutes to just dab each other
up,
catch up.
Thanks for pulling up. Yep. Yeah. But that's like what I really want people to focus on is like, so in high school, I wasn't popular. My brother was actually it's weird, bro. It flipped 100%. So my brother was the popular one. He was a cool guy. He had all the friends. I never had a best friend before college, ever. It was always, I would hit up my brother and be like, yo, what are you doing today? Who are you hanging out with? Like hanging out with them. Then when I went to college, like my brother hung out with like all of his high school friends. And when I went to college, I was like, clean slate, let's go. So then I started hanging out with all these people who were like hung out with Hui, and he was very into fashion and like shooting content. And then like, look what that started. Because I met Hui, I started filming content, which like was the whole trajectory of like Butterfly. Cause we're so well known for like our social media videos. We're not the Brodsky Productions where it's like, yo, we're making movies. We're like in that wheelhouse where it's like, we're pumping out content. And we got so big so quick where it's like, it was only because I surrounded myself around people that I literally wanted to know everything about. And I like strive to be more like them. And when you take crumbs from like, I call it crumbs, but like you take like little pieces from all your friends and you want to put it into a melting pot, stir it up, heat it up, and then drink the potion. That's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
So I look at the Gary V's, I look at Iconic Mark Brazil, I look at Jeff Cole, because I've got a weird balance between, it's really weird actually. I genuinely think I'm 50-50 between creative and business person, which is not typical because most people are like very business and they find their artist or their creativity person. I feel like I'm split so down the middle where it's like, it almost holds me back because when I talk about creativity and I talk about creatives and I talk about content, I already kind of know what I want. So it kind of hinders me because when I see that first draft or I see some things, it's not what I was thinking. Where if I was only a business person, I'm like, yeah, it's content, let's go. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I got you. I think where we're at is like where you have that 50-50 split is really not there at all. Like
That's good actually, bro. That's actually really good because you know your strength and you know your weakness. Obviously there's some outliers, but then you just build a team around it. Is it gonna take longer for a podcasting team to build a team of eight? Absolutely, because it's not reoccurring revenue like until you get to the ad space.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But building a team so quickly when you're on that edge, that's my biggest struggle point right now.
Because you just don't know, because you want to take it in a certain direction.
Because here's where I strive in, bro. I strive in like sitting down with like the Vikings and sitting down and talking about strategy and content for their players to maximize profit. That's my strength. But you put me on a video shoot and you don't tell me any direction and I can pump out a sweet video for content. So it's just like weird, like, do I want to be more into video and like actually like creative director, or do I want to be an entrepreneur, and do I want to be a business person, and do I want to run a company? I don't know yet.
We're right there with you.
I mean, it's tough, dude. Like, how do you guys?
And both of those things help grow your company, right? It's not like if you stop being a businessman, I mean, there's other, you'll still be included.
Then I have to hire the business person.
Yeah. And then if you stop doing the video aspect, you'll hire someone else. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's the give and take of doing what you love and scaling what you love and finding, do I actually love being the businessman? Am I good at it? Do I love it? Does it matter? And you're fighting that every single day. And it's not easy. Not easy.
And you think about it, dude, like if you look across the coast, like if you look across the whole nation, how many people have started a social media agency? Like we're saturated, dude. Like,
yeah.
the one thing that I really think we have going for us is our name. Like, seriously, like Social Butterfly. Like, that's a scalable name.
Yep.
And
longevity as well.
Longevity.
It's the name that goes along with the longevity. I mean, you can be a one-hit wonder and be Wonderwall and you're gone.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can stay around and continue to pump out content and continue to do it time and time again and be consistent. Longevity, I mean, it's right there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. My guy. But, yeah, I mean, it's just, at the end of the day, like, I feel that, like, if you don't go to sleep, like, I have a calendar reminder in my calendar every single day, 10-minute reflection of the day. And it literally translated a lot, because that 10-minute reflection is actually more of, like, how did I perform? Were my teammates ignited? Were they hyped up? Did I just talk about everything that they did wrong? There's so many things that go into, like, the words that come out of my mouth affect my whole company. Like, yeah. It's weird to think about that, because if you're in a bad day, like if you're not someone who likes a rainy day like today was, are you naturally in a bad mood?
Right. It's like, I'm me personally. No, I don't give a shit about the rain.
But. See, I am, bro. Like, the weather affects my mood.
Oh no.
Yeah. you know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm trying to change
but not only does it, like, affect what you're saying is, like, not only does it affect you, it affects the whole company.
So building off of that, I sat down with someone who runs a really big agency,
yeah.
And it was in tandem with Unreal. And he said something that, like, changed my life. He goes, you set the weather of your company.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You want sunny days? Be a sunny day person.
Yeah.
You want rainy days? Be a rainy day person. And it's tough. Like I said, everything's due tomorrow. Things aren't moving. You just put on 5 people on salary.
Yeah.
Like, bro, I'm selling my car. Like, I haven't bought a house. You know, there's all these things that you're just, like, dumping into your company. And it's like, you're relying so much on everyone else's motivation to build what was in your head and translate it and empower them to want to build their dreams up within your company. And whatever you say affects where that's going every single day.
Mm.
It's weird, dude.
How much do the people that you hire, how much of what they say affect what you're thinking?
That's a good question.
Because don't you think it'd be kind of like, could you think of your company, your vision, your thing as more of a two-way street?
Yeah, I mean, everything's a two-way street now.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything's like a four-way crossway, I swear to God.
Four-way stop. And yeah, no one knows the right way right away.
No.
Yeah. No one does.
But, I mean, yeah, obviously what they say impacts, like, what we're doing and what I'm doing. But, I mean, it's just like, it's a team, dude. Like, if your captain's not the one pulling the team, someone's got to be pulling that team. So if I'm having a bad week because I'm stressed out about Link and Drink canceling venues, like, I want the people in my team to be like, no, dude, we got this. Like, are you kidding me? Like, any other team, like, look at this room. Any other team, they get a 7-day notice, they're not throwing that event. Butterfly's throwing that event. Mm-hmm. Link right. Drink's throwing that event. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because you're making the final call, and people will follow that, absolutely.
Yeah.
But I was just saying more so, like, I feel like you're caught up and, like, really, really driven, worrying about what, like, they're gonna do in terms of, like, what you want them to do. But I see it more in terms of, like, there's you hired them on, you've enabled them, you've empowered them. Now there's a respect and a trust that is between you and that person.
Yeah.
And so, like, now it's time to be the listener and have so and so come back into the room and report and be like, this is what I did.
Yeah.
And you're like, either, like, fuck yeah, or here, I like what you're doing, but here's what we could maybe do, be better. Right. You know?
Yeah.
Give that feedback.
Yeah. I mean, it is a two-way street. And that's why we, like, created a leadership team. And, like, nice. You got to earn your way to a leadership team. And we have weekly meetings based on, like, certain topics and certain issues. But, I mean, it's growing pains, dude. Like, no one teaches you how to run a company. Mm-mm. They don't teach you how to run the company.
You're what, 24?
Yeah.
25.
Just turned 24 in July.
Hey, there you go.
You know what I'm saying?
And look what you're doing.
I mean, yeah.
Take a step back for a sec.
I know.
This is lit.
I know. It is lit. Mm-hmm. It is super lit. And I love it. I love it. But I'm just really working on not letting the stress eat me alive. Because I'm telling you, bro, like, you hit that 8-person payroll, it's like, all right, we got to sell some shit.
That's a lot of people.
It's a lot of people, dude. Yeah. And it's their livelihoods, too. Like, mm-hmm. I got to look at that. Like, bro, the minute that they turn past 26, like, I got to offer benefits.
Yeah.
They teach you that in college? No. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm finding this out through my accountant and, like, the people that I work with and, like, what their needs are. And, like, we started incorporating these one-on-ones where it's, like, I just sit down and just catch up. Like, how are you feeling? Are you like, stressed out? Like, do you want more responsibility? Like, are you hyped up? Like, do I suck as a bot? Like, all these things that I just want to ask because, like, yes, it sucks to hear bad news, but, like, the faster that I know what you don't like, the faster I can get to what you do like.
Mm.
And that's marketing. That's
radical transparency.
That's selling. That's sitting down on this podcast. Like, I want to know, like, what do you guys want to get out of this? Like, the faster I know, we're not going to sit around and talk in circles. We're going to get straight to the point. We're going to move on. That's why you guys are creating so much content, is because you guys built those parameters and you guys are just filling in the blanks, dude.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing what I'm doing. It's like, I know what I want. I want big brand plays. If it's not happening in Butterfly, am I going to start another company? I started Lincoln Drink. Like, that wasn't intended, but it grew into that because my intentions were there from the start.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And it's time to fill in our favorite blank. The average quality, Brandon.
The average quality.
So you get to, it's a reoccurring question for you now.
It's a coveted question.
Do you remember what he said for his average quality? You just listened to it. Or I listened to it as well. But
dude.
I'm blanking.
Oh, God, I don't
know. It could have been something along the lines of scaling about, too fast.
Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah.
I mean, you had just bought the Neon Butterfly.
That broke, by the way.
Did it really?
Dude, you were so hyped about that
show.
I was hyped about it, too.
Ah, dude, they were trying to film a video to, like, introduce the new people on the team, and we hired, like, four people, and they're trying to get, like, the butterfly on the sign, and I was, like, out of town, and they just texted me, like, yeah, butterfly sign broke.
Dang.
And I'm like, come on. Yeah. That was such a big brand play. Like,
it was huge.
Yeah. No, we're getting it fixed, but.
Average quality,
average
Brandon.
Quality.
What is your average quality now, this time around?
I would say it's like kind of what I've been talking about. Like,
you've definitely mentioned a few things that you're trying to improve on every single day.
Yeah, I would just say, like, I'm human. Like, yeah, I can watch a Gary Vee interview or a Mark Brazil interview or, like, a Scooter Braun interview and just being like, I'm that person. Like,
mm-hmm.
I have confidence. I can put my foot down. I can run a meeting. I can run a team. But my average quality is, like, I'm human. I'm 24 years old, bro. Like, the more that I put myself out there, am I building my brand bigger? Maybe, maybe not. Like, when I talk about these flaws, like, maybe people are just like, whatever. But that's, like, true to myself. Like, I'm human. I'm very much human. And do I get mad at my team for, like, messing things up? Yeah. And should I get better about, like, the way I handle those situations? 100%. But just being as transparent as possible is, like, what I'm trying to do. And, like, just lay everything out on the table. And is it stuff we want to hear? No. But is it going to make us better? Yeah. So, like, kind of what I talked about in the beginning, if it doesn't challenge you, it doesn't change you. And what's really, really weird about that is I have this app on my phone, and it sends me motivational quotes. And I max that thing out. It's like 8 a day. Just like straight motivation.
What's that app? I think it's
motivational quotes. I think it's what it is called.
Okay.
It's fire. I'll send it to you. But I was sitting in this meeting. It was literally 2 weeks ago. I was in Mankato. And I got the notification, and I'm, like, talking to these two women about a video that they want for their, like, private high school. And we're talking about all these things, and they're just like, yeah, like, I really want – and they're, like, a Christian school or something. But I'm sitting there, and I get the notification. It says, if it doesn't challenge you, it doesn't change you. And I look up, and there's a sign. You know those, like, hipster signs where you can put the white letters?
Yeah.
It says, if it doesn't challenge you, it won't change you.
Whoa.
I swear, bro. Literally – 5 minutes after I got the notification, I look up and it's the exact same quote on there. And so, like, I feel like that's a big sign, and I just need to challenge the shit out of myself and just, like, not get to the point where I'm burning out. Like, I need to have that balance, but just challenging the shit out of myself and my team and my company and my brand, and challenge the shit out of my peers, like my network, like asking you guys questions, like, what are you guys doing to, like, challenge yourselves? Like, what's happening? What's new? Like, what are some flaws that you guys are facing? Because, again, the faster that you get those things out, the faster that we're going to get to what we actually want.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
The problem is like, people are scared to admit those things. Like,
oh, yeah.
I'm a very good communicator. I suck at dealing with frustration. Great. Do I type in, like, frustration counselor? Or, like, do I type in, like, classes or, like, look for books? Like, now I have three routes right there that I can get better. But if we don't want to admit that we're bad at something, you're just always going to be bad at something.
Nothing's mm-hmm. going to change.
Yeah. So I love that's probably my most average quality.
I love it, dude. It's I mean, it's kind of your biggest asset too, though. Like,
yeah.
you're incredibly, incredibly self-aware, and you're incredibly motivated, and, like, you are just trying to spread and give as much as you can. And to your point, I got a notification this morning. So at the beginning of speaking of quarters, I January
1.
Q4.
Yeah.
Q4. Q4's up.
You can't forget that. Mm-hmm. And that's a meme.
Yeah. All of Q4.
Bang. But so at the beginning of this year, every quarter, I set a reminder for myself. I was hungover on the light rail going back from my night out for New Year's. And I was like, I got to find what are four things that I want to do this year in terms of just like, they were more like vague motivational type things. Mm-hmm. And today, started Q4. I got my last one. Never stop giving.
That
and I was like, heavy. How fucking cool is that? You get a notification on your phone from something you forgot you did. Said 8 months ago. And it's just like,
so what do you relate that to? Like, what are you, is it like the content you guys are putting out, or is there like certain things else that you're doing that's like giving? Like,
I mean, there's nothing more than the podcast itself. We're very front faced with that, where we tailor our podcast and every single podcast that we do to the guest. When you come on, it's your hour.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we'll obviously talk about ourselves from time to time to tie in some things and use some common, relatable experiences, some things like that. But the hour's yours, and you get to take it wherever you want. And that's the coolest thing. Every podcast is different for us in the sense of they get to talk about their story and they get to talk about their favorite things, and it's our job to be a guiding light. And that's our giving aspect on the podcast. I mean, there's probably more that we can be doing outside of that.
Well, I think look at the entire operation of like what we spend our time on. I mean, it's Brandon comes on the podcast. It's then me and you spending 8 hours apiece, chopping up this content and producing it to put on YouTube. Then it's,
and then like providing it to the guests to share.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then me listening.
That's huge alone, bro. I've been on a ton of podcasts and some do it and some don't. I will always go back and do whatever it takes to provide you guys your favor just because you guys create content. Because, yeah. I mean, maybe I'm a little bit different because I'm an agency dude, but...
You get it, man.
No, I'm just saying, like, the content you guys spin off, it's, like, easily shareable, like, posted on my shit. Like, it just goes tenfold. So it's all about giving.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's, like, we spend hours on hours and hours, like, chopping up videos of people. And yeah, we'll send it to them, but... I mean, some people just like either like, I don't want to post that thing, or it's not their thing, or maybe they just don't get it. We also don't like blatantly tell them like, hey, you have to post something as part of coming on the podcast. Like, that's never really been a deal of ours, but
we stand on the shoulders of our guests.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. We understand that like us doing that work and that legwork and having over 100 podcasts this year, like we know that's going to make an impact somewhere, and we love doing it. We don't think twice about it. We do kind of think twice about it now at this point because there's just so much content now, dude. Like, it is just insane. And so that's why, you know, Andrew and I are coming into the last end of season 3, and we're kind of being stubborn and competitive, right? Like, last year we blossomed at this time because we got to meet the butterflies, the astronauts, Giselle, Matt Weiss. Like, there's this whole, this time last year was an incredible time for us because we're meeting all these new people around us and dominating our sandbox. And now we took that mold and then just ran with it this year, and we want to finish the year out doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And now that we've done that, right, you know, going back to your point of like doing and then learning right away, mm-hmm. like now we're like, okay, 3 podcasts a week is a lot. 3 podcasts a week is probably too much. Not everybody wants to listen to me talk for 3 times a week,
right?
And I was just like looking at that as a listener. And so it's really cool to, you know, sit around both you guys and hear, you know, these stories of, you know, like you're always thinking about what the fuck you're passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
And it always is changing, man. This is an evolution of a couple 24-year-old guys trying to figure this shit out. And so that's like where we're heading, man. It's like, okay, we know we did this entire year's worth, and there's a ton of good stuff in there. Let's take a step back, reflect, pick out what makes sense, and run.
So what is your guys' like long-term play with Back Pocket?
Mm-hmm. There's a couple different things that come to mind. I think because we've put, you know, you talked about 50-50 with business and podcasting. I think what Andrew and I are very curious is the business side. We have put probably 90% of our eggs into the creative side. How to make a good podcast.
We just love doing it.
We just love doing it.
We've never cared about making money off of it. And now
it's got to be sustainable.
It's got to be sustainable. And
that's what I was going to ask. I don't know if we want to do it on the podcast, but I was going to ask, like, what's your business model moving forward? Because, like, you guys can't just be funding this with your daytime jobs if you want it to be, like, what I think you guys want it to be. But maybe you don't. Maybe you just want it to be a side thing, which is nothing wrong with that. But if you do want it to be something bigger, like, there's got to be money coming in, whether that's sponsors and whether that's just like ad revenue or what that looks like.
Well, I think that's the first step, right? Like, we need to figure out that side of it. And
what we're doing to figure it out is scaling our audience. Mm-hmm. So we are spending the last 2 months of our podcast truly looking at all of the numbers and like diving into.
I love that you guys put that out, by the way. Like, mm-hmm. here we've had this many hours listened and this and this.
Yeah,
that just like put it into retrospect, because I see you guys posting, like I have your post notifications turned on.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, dude.
Yeah. Seriously, I do that to people I care about. But when I see that consistently coming out, like, what does that look like long term, and what is your guys' actual motive, and like, mm-hmm. what's your goal with it? Is it to build revenue and have this become your full-time jobs? Like, do you want to create like something similar to Barstool and create like an empire, or do you want to just be a podcast and throw some events? Like, there's so many questions to be asked that I think people should know.
Mm-hmm. And we're trying to figure out those answers.
Yeah,
there's a hint of Barstool in it, because we want to build that empire, that belief in back pocket, where you are wildly average but you have an extraordinary passion to achieve these really awesome things. And we're trying to tap into other people and like work through maybe podcasts with them, sponsors, tap into businesses. There's a lot of things that we're trying to use the numbers and where people are listening and where they're coming from, who they are, and then showing that to external people and being like, oh, okay, these are the people that are buying into you. I want to be a part of that, and I want to do something on my own, and I think you could help me if it's powered by back pocket type of thing.
Yeah.
So it's got like
it's that 1% lookalike.
It's the lookalike audience.
No, exactly.
It is what it is.
Yeah. And like, what you've been super crucial in like helping us realize that is like, you know, instilling some reflectiveness of like, who listens to back pocket? Like, why is it that we show up to Link and Drink every time and we feel like this is our Mecca night, because people are like, oh, back pocket, we know you guys, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, these are like the hustlers, like these guys, this type of niche person, the person like navigating through their 20s, trying to figure out what they want to do, are the people that are most interested in this podcast, right? You look at that, and then you look at the best part about all of this is we have over 200 podcasts of data to analyze.
Stupid data. Most people don't.
No one has that. And so that's our golden nugget, right? Andrew and I have to look at that and then make assessments, make judgments, cross-reference that with what we'll have most fun doing.
And trial and
error. And then fulfill needs of the people that we think need it.
Mm-hmm.
Go on a sales pitch and start trying to hit those. And that, like, if you're talking more futuristic, like, that is step one. Like, start trying to fulfill needs of different brands, companies, where we're having fun, they're having fun, and we're making money. And this is now something that is value given in both directions. Once I can figure that out, now I can go to everybody. Now I can start to build a platform. Now I can build a network of different podcasts that are doing that exact same thing. Do I want to jump right to making other like podcasts and stuff? Sure, absolutely. But like, I can't do that unless I find a business model that works.
You need ourselves. A structure to build up.
Yeah. So we're still building really the structure. But the best part about it is like, we're going to have a really good direction when we're able to sit back and look at even season 3 alone, where we have full production, full audio.
Yeah, because every single one had video and audio, right?
Every single one, start to finish.
Which
so we'll
season
have,
one did not.
Season
nor
one.
Did season two.
Nor did season two.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
I mean, you just saw your...
Well, yeah, I got cut out, bro.
You got cut out just now talking about Lincoln Drake.
Yeah.
And we were filming that on one GoPro in the middle of a wooden, like the same exact room in wooden chairs on a wooden table. We met you for the first time. The audio was fucked. I'm telling you, like, we did not dial this stuff in until February this year.
And that's a reflective period on us, and that's what we're trying to learn every single moment going forward and evolve and get better, because we love this thing and we don't want it to go away. And this brings the time and on our show where we get to ask you, Brandon, a simple question. What did you learn today? So we got to share with you like something that we're fucking trying to learn mm-hmm. so hard
mm-hmm.
and we are not going to be great at it. Like you've been mentioning throughout this podcast, we don't know what we're doing. We got an idea. We got an inclination. We're going to go after it and we're going to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon, what did you learn today that maybe made you a little bit better of a person, that you took away a little golden nugget, that you, your little crumb that you're putting in your back pocket?
So is it reflective as like the last like day or like on the podcast right now?
24 hours.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Because it's been a hustler day. 10 hours of Q4.
Yeah. This is a great time because we just talked about like, because we're looking back on like what we said in quarter three and we're looking at quarter four. And this is like my first full year of looking at quarters. And we operate off an entrepreneurial operating system, EOS. it changed the trajectory of my business. It's amazing.
Nice.
But so we're sitting there looking at what we talked about in quarter three, similar to kind of what we looked at here. Like that was a year ago. What did I say a year ago? And what does today look like? They're 100% different. I would say the thing that I learned today is you can set a plan, but you have to be agile and you have to adapt and you have to have the confidence that if the plan fails, you got to have something in the back pocket.
Yo.
And that's a plug. That's a plug.
What is, real quick, what is in your back pocket right now?
Like physically or like
either.
Or mentally.
Or mentally.
What's a habit?
What's a habit thing that you're like, this is what would you rely on in this situation that you just put yourself in?
I would just say I'm a hype man, dude. Like I get people excited and like, I'm not just a hype man that just like talks and talks. Like I lean a little bit in that operational side, but in my back pocket, dude, like if you tell me we got to get something done today, I'm 99% going to get 100% of it done.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like there's so many things where people just like, they'll ask so many questions before they just jump into it. And it's like, I guarantee if you didn't ask me any of those questions and you just sent me that first thing, it would have been 99% of what it should have been. And that's my confidence. That's where I come from with like, when you see me setting up for Lincoln Drink or you see me like filming on a day for Butterfly or like maybe like I just came from Arizona. We were just filming a video with me and Huey. Like I just like I can throw things on the spot and I can just like have so much confidence that it's going to be what it needs to be. And maybe that has a little bit of me of like being a visionary and like what I see myself in. But there's just so much more to it that most people don't have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What'd you learn today, Andrew?
I learned a great deal of being in client relations. So I've been a lot of behind the scenes working.
You're working at MediaBridge, right?
I was working at MediaBridge the beginning of the year, and now I'm working with Caleb at his company, Social Works.
Nice.
And he has me doing a lot of the stuff behind the scenes, implementation of the marketing strategy, ad buying and everything. And now he's just starting to let the leash go and have me work the client relations.
Delegate and elevate.
Delegate to elevate.
Let's get right here, dude.
We're taking on
automate
more.
The process, too. That's another one.
Mm-hmm.
Automate the process.
Yes, sir. And so I got to like be client facing. I'm not in meetings at all during the day. Like I get to do my own thing. I get to hammer out my tasks and I'm in meetings with Caleb.
Mm-hmm.
He tells me what to do. I ask the questions and then I follow through.
Shout out Caleb, dude. One of the, mm-hmm. Okay, two things about Caleb. The world's best copywriter on Facebook.
Right?
Bro, I don't know how this dude doesn't have a million likes on Facebook. From like his garage sale shit to like just his normal copywriting. This dude's an animal. Number two, just a good guy.
Yes.
It's a really good, the first time I met him, I'm just like, I really like that guy. That was the exact words out of my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
He's just very calm, collected, and just like, seems like he has a lot of empathy. I like that guy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And he spreads that with me every single day. And now I got to deal with it as a client facing.
Yeah.
And I have to represent the brand and, you know, answer questions of concerns. And I'm like, holy shit. Caleb has to do this all day long of answering these like pretty weak questions by the clients, and it's just like, yeah, let us do our job, we'll get you the results.
Yeah,
why you got to ask me those pointless questions? And I'm in it for an hour and a half, like just like helping feed the little their little needs, and I'm like, let me do my thing. Mm-hmm. And then I can get you those results, but if you ask me these questions right now, can't get it. But you have to work through that, and you have to show them, you have to have empathy, you have to care. And so I'm learning that, and that's something that I started today, and I'm going to be going through client relations game.
I cannot wait for this.
What'd you learn, Declan?
I learned that the most popular like movie candy. So they came out with this.
I knew you would have something. They had this far left field.
Yeah, no, this is fucking nuts, dude. Listen to this. So they did Lights, Camera, Action Pod just came, which is like a Barstool movie podcast, just came out with this like breakdown of all 50 states and each like favorite movie candy in each one. And
hold on. Is it Sour Patch Kids?
No, dude. Minnesota's like favorite candy is Almond Joy, which is fucked. Like,
fucked.
So fucked.
And then, you're talking about that shit with the coconut and shit?
Bro, yeah. they titled it as candy, and then listen to what North Dakota's is. Freaking baked beans, dude.
Baked beans at the movie theater.
No, I'm not.
At the movie theater?
At the movie theater, dude.
Bro,
I was shocked.
Okay, so
had,
it's no fucked. Dates going on there.
No
like,
dates.
Who just says, like, yo, you want to come to a movie with me? Like, we'll go to the 10 o'clock showing.
Make sure you bring your spoon. We got we got baked beans coming in.
Yeah,
hot.
Yeah.
In your
like,
white
just,
undies.
Just pour a little bit on the popcorn.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can find it. I just want to show you
dude,
guys.
Dude, that is savage.
Tough, man. It's so the stupidest thing. Yeah, here it is. favorite movie candy by state based on social media, Walmart, and Target, which I don't understand all
they typed in hashtag movie candy or what?
Yeah, so dude, we got Almond Joy coming in Minnesota. We got baked beans in North Dakota, M&M's in South Dakota, candy corn in Iowa.
What's Maine? I feel like Maine is just going to have something savage.
Bunch of Crunch, dude.
Oh, see, that should have been Minnesota. Bunch of Crunch goes hard,
that's
dude.
That's legit, dude. Mm-hmm. How about this? Dum Dums in Colorado and also Dum Dums in Florida. Interesting. Wow, you interesting. Never expect that, right?
No, but I love Dum Dums.
How about this, dude? Wisconsin, what do you guys think this one is?
Cheese.
I was going to say cheese curds.
You guys are spot on. Kraft cheese slices.
What?
Yeah.
Bro, what kind of movie theaters are these?
This is not a...
These are like the list that they like smuggle into the movie theater. Like, yo, get that Bush's baked
based
beans.
On social...
Yo, bring in those Kraft slices. Yeah.
Like,
with the paper plastic.
Like, we're all data guys right here, and this is a Barstool post. Out of these three companies, social media, just said based on social media, which is like unbelievable, Walmart and Target. Like, what do you think their data set was like actually looking like to get these numbers, right? Because they skewed them, obviously.
They probably tasked an intern and said, come up with top candy from everyone.
Like, have you guys figured out? Like, this one is, what's the one right below Wisconsin? Is that Indiana?
No, it's Iowa.
We got a map for reference.
Yeah, no, Illinois. Sorry. It's Illinois.
Oh, it's my state.
Yeah, sorry. Don't want to throw it under the bus. But yeah, it's Illinois. Their favorite candy is Sixlets.
Don't know what that is.
Yeah. It's like they kind of look like a caterpillar.
Yeah. Oh, are they like runts, kind of? Runts.
Yeah, but they're like chocolate inside.
Oh.
I think.
Speaking of Sour Patch Kids. Yummy, though. What state is that? Missouri. Missouri loves Sour Patch Kids, turns out.
I love Sour Patch Kids.
Right, how about this, dude? Louisiana coming in hot with Pixie Sticks. And this is like another thing right here. This is where I'm like, I don't know if I'm really buying this whole thing. Texas, black licorice.
I see that. I feel like that's a Texas thing.
Mm-hmm. You think so?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So we're all bought in on that.
And they spit while they eat the black licorice, too.
Oh, my God.
They mix it in with their chew.
Yeah.
Oh,
look man. At this, dude. Hawaii and Alaska both came in with wax bottles as their...
Yeah, they didn't do enough research on them, I think.
I don't think they had a wide...
They just had leftover candy that was their sponsor. And it's like, yeah, you guys...
Yeah, I guess, dude. Whatever, dude.
Tough.
God. Yeah. All right, well,
that's what you learned? Beautiful.
Yeah, that is what I learned.
I appreciate what you learned.
Absolutely.
Because I learned with you.
Yeah, I think we all can learn a thing or two from my dumbass brain. Yeah. So I think that's really what it comes down to.
Exactly.
Hey, we talked about confidence today. You need the confidence.
I do. I need some confidence.
And Decky's got confidence right now because you're heading to comedy here. You got yourself an 8-minute bit for the first time.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, how's that going, by the way? How's that?
Comedy?
The comedy thing going.
Yeah, dude, I'm coming in on a year. And
are you a professional yet?
No. I'm far from it, man.
Do you get nervous?
Yes, still.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not.
What makes you the most nervous? Is it the fact that people might not laugh at your joke, or is it the fact that there's a lot of people in the room?
None of those things. Interesting. When I go up on stage, like, I'm the most confident. I'm ready. And if I crush, I crush, and I'm comfortable. It's the times when I tell a joke that I think is funny, and all the people in the room are silent. Those are the hardest times to remain comfortable and yourself
and confident.
Like, I need to be able to like sit, like tell everybody out loud and like be transparent, just be like, yeah, that was a bad joke, like sorry, that was tough, or like make fun of myself and then like find more creative and like iterative ways
playing
to,
off of the audience.
Yeah, exactly. To
like, being
like,
cue the cricket noise because that one wasn't funny.
Exactly.
Like that.
But like when you tell a joke that you like spend some time on, and like the girl in the front's like, Jesus fucking Christ, what's your
process on that? Like, do you just sit there and just like think of funny shit and just laugh to yourself? Do you get like drunk by yourself? Like, what's your process?
I mean, there's a couple different ways I go about it, but it's experiential, right? Mm-hmm. Things that I see around that I'm like, that's a bit, and then I'll go home. Like Andrew said, I literally laugh myself to sleep sometimes, where I'm just like, I got my book, I'm writing down the different jokes, and I'm trying to come up with bits. What's nice now is like, I know the difference between like a premise and a punchline. So like, typing hors d'oeuvres,
that's a big learning curve in the comedy world,
because you can think in the biggest problem that I had, which was thinking a premise as a punchline.
What is the premise? Break it down.
So a premise would be like with the bit that
setting
I posted.
Setting the scene, or?
It would be like a subject.
Tell me a joke.
Like,
tell me a joke on the spot right now.
So like the Google bit that I had. Have you seen that one on Instagram?
Mm-mm. You guys put out too much content, bro.
No, it's on it's on my personal.
Oh, I don't have that turned on.
Whatever. He doesn't follow
me. I'll turn it on. Dude.
No, you don't need to do it, dude. You don't need to do it. It's not worth it.
I'm going to. I'm going to now.
So the Google bit that I had, and I still have, but the premise is like I struggle with typing typing words into Google, and not even Google knows what the fuck I'm talking about.
I actually did see that now that you say that.
Okay, right? So that's a premise, right? Like, we get a little giggle, like, huh, I do that too. But, like, what do you say next to, like,
really actually get them to laugh?
You set the scene, right?
Yeah.
Everybody's typing a word that they don't know into Google, and what that is.
Still doesn't know what you're talking about.
It still doesn't
know
what
the punchline.
So then the punchline is, oh, well, when I type it in, like, I imagine there's a Google headquarters around, like, there's a Google headquarters looking into my phone, and there's a guy named Craig on the computer saying, like, oh my God, everyone gather around. Declan's trying to spell hors d'oeuvres again.
Yeah, I did see that.
Right? And I'm like, fuck, I don't know how to spell hors d'oeuvres. Yeah. No one knows how to spell hors d'oeuvres.
Yeah. Doesn't it start with an H?
Yeah. It starts with an H. Like,
there's an apostrophe in there.
There's an apostrophe. It's all this bullshit. And I'm like, hey, just say snacks. And like, that's. Right. So, like, the idea of when you're writing, you come up with a subject. Like, think about it in an email line. It's the subject line. And then within that email body, you're writing punch jokes or punchlines that you think will be funny.
I see.
So when I see an experience or something that's funny, I'm like, okay, that's a premise. That's a premise. That's a premise. So, and then I go sit down and write all the jokes from that.
So you'd probably be like a professional newsletter content creator.
Yeah. I've been thinking about that.
I'm looking.
Yeah. I'll write copy.
I'm just saying.
I'll write copy, dude. It's just going to be funny and it's going to be me. That's pretty much what I can sell.
Which is exactly what Back Pocket is, which I love.
Yes, awesome, sir.
Man. Yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And I think that speaks to what I'm going to finish off the podcast with as a feel-good story.
Dude, absolutely. So go for it.
Feel-good stories.
A little bit of a feel-good story. Decky performing. He's got 8 minutes tonight for the first time.
Okay.
Don't let me get hot.
Yeah. I don't know how it's going
to
go.
I don't want you to be hot, bro. I want you to be spicy.
Ooh. Okay, all right.
So that's a feel-good story in itself.
Location.
And then we've already mentioned it to kick off this podcast, Lincoln Drink 007, coming up on a year. We sat in this very room, a little bit different setup. We had a wooden circle table.
I met you guys for the first time.
A little more average. Than,
very average.
This
very
is much average. Less average the second time around.
A little more comfortable feel. We know each other, and we get to celebrate a year of you trying something new, failing at some point to then come out on top and continue to push forward. I love being a part of your circle and all the other people that have been included in what we do, whether it's Giselle or Nick, all the and everyone in between. It's so awesome that we get to sit here. You're 24, we're 23. I mean, working on 24.
Wait, you guys
we're
going to get 23?
Yeah, we're getting to 24. Damn. We'll get there eventually. And we're just having a blast. At the end of the day, we're having so much fun doing it, and it's something that we care about, and we're never going to stop doing it because we love it that much. That's the feel-good 100%. Story. Brandon, thank you so much for taking time out of your Q4 prep on a Tuesday night.
Thank you, bro. I appreciate it. Thank you guys for having me on.
Force,
much dude. Love. Much love.
Force.
That's a wrap.
Thinking of the way